A few weeks ago, I had students over for Shabbos, and one of my students told me a wild story that apparently happened to his sister's friend. She was probably about 22, 23 at the time when this happened. And he says as follows. She was watching over her grandmother and taking care of her, and going back and forth between her grandmother's apartment and her parents' house. And one day she was by her grandmother, and the grandmother owned the dog for many years, and that particular day the dog passed away. And they weren't sure what to do with the dog's body. Typically speaking, I've had a cat, and when our cat passed away, so we buried the cat in our backyard. Right? So over here, you're in an apartment building, you don't really have any of the grounds, any of the real estate outside. The backyard is not yours. So what are you going to do with this dog? So you're not going to throw it in the garbage. So the girl decides, you know, let me take it home. I'm leaving later today to my parents' house. Let me take it home and I'll bury it there in my backyard. So then she had to think, you know, how am I going to take this dog? I'm not going to take it in a clear plastic bag on the train. So she decides, she borrows a suitcase, a very old suitcase from the grandmother, one which she will probably dispose of right after this. And she puts the dog's body in the suitcase. She gets on the train later that day, and there's a young man who comes and sits right across from her and starts talking with her. And he starts flirting with her, and she seems somewhat interested in the guy, and she's flirting back with him. And they start talking and talk about how she was by her grandmother and she's going home now. And he looks down at the bags that she has, and he says, "Oh, what's in that suitcase?" And all of a sudden she's in shock and she freezes for a second. And quickly on her toes, she's obviously not going to say that there's a dead dog in there. That's definitely unexpected. And would probably shock the guy. And so she says, it's my grandmother's fine china set. She wants me to take it home to my parents to have them look over it and to put it there for storage. So they continue to talk. And after a few more minutes, so it's her stop. And she says, I have to go now. This is my stop. But it was nice meeting you. And the man, he says, oh, this is your stop. This is my stop. I'm getting off here also. And he sees that she has bags, and he says, let me help you with some of your bags. And he quickly goes and takes that suitcase. And he says, let me help you with your bags. And he lifts up the suitcase. And they start walking out together. And just as they get out of the subway, he takes a dash in the opposite direction. And he starts running away. And she was a con artist. He was a thief. Wanted to get to know her, find out that there's some fine china that she has. And he stole it. The girl is thinking, oh my God, is this guy going to be in for a surprise when he opens up to find a dead dog in that suitcase to which what he thought was fine china. And she's thinking, oh, I guess that's how I'm going to get rid of the dog's body. And just imagine that scene of the person opening up the suitcase and finding a huge surprise. His perception of what was in there could not have been further from the truth. And in life, there are many times where the perception and reality of something couldn't be more distant. There's a Gemara in Pesachim on Daf Nun Amud Aleph that says, "Ki hadar Rav Yosef b'reid Rav Yeshua ben Levi chalash v'snaged Yeshua." That Rav Yosef, the son of Yeshua ben Levi, he became very sick to the point where he was going to pass away, and he has what we call a near-death experience. And thank God he was okay. And ki hadar, when he got better, so amar le avuha, my chazis. His father says to him, what did you see? When you were having that near-death experience, you could look online, there's stories of what people saw when they were under the knife for surgery and they were going to die and they flatlined, but then they got revived. There are stories about what they saw. So here the Gemara has a story. So his father asked him, what did you see when you had this near-death experience? So Amar Lei, Olam Hafach Ra'isi, I saw an upside-down world. Alyonim Lamata, V'tachtonim Lamala. The Gemara explains this to really mean that it literally means the things on top were below and things below were on top. It's understood that this is talking about the people who are the high people in society are going to be on the low level, the low people in the next world, in the Olam HaEmes, and the simple people, the simple Yidden in the world are going to be Lamala in the Olam HaEmes. And so that's what he told his father. That's what I saw. So Amar Lo, father says to him, Bini, Olam Barer Ra'isa, you saw a clear world. That is MS. That world that you saw, of everything, the upside down world, that is the MS. And although the Gemara is discussing the difference between perception in this world and the reality in the Olam HaEmes, I think this idea applies between the Jewish perspective, the Torah perspective of the world, and the secular perspective of the world. Many mitzvos, ben Adam l'makom, are pretty intuitive. One doesn't necessarily need to be a religious person to believe in having proper morals and values. So for example, giving money to the needy, to the aniyim, performing acts of chesed, having to pay damages, nizikin, to someone who you injured, all these things are part of someone's moral conscience that you don't have to be a religious person to believe in. And the Torah laws, even if they might differ, of course, in terms of some of the details from the American legal laws, it's more or less similar, and people overall would agree to these things and act in a certain way. However, the commandment to not speak Lashon Hara is probably a mitzvah with the greatest discrepancy between Torah observant Jews and the rest of the world. The society we're in welcomes Lashon Hara and has magazines, TV shows, websites, which are designated to the sole purpose of spreading Lashon Hara, whose ratings go up based on how juicy the gossip is. Saying something mean about someone is not considered a bad thing, and it's something that is totally accepted in secular society. While the Torah perspective couldn't be anything further from that. We have the Parshios this week and next week in Tazria Mitzor, and of course at other points throughout the Torah where we discuss the dangers of Lashon Hara. Now, of course, it doesn't necessarily specifically talk about Lashon Hara, it's talking about Saras, but the Gemara says, of course, that one of the main ways to get Saras is by speaking Lashon Hara. And this person who speaks Lashon Hara, who speaks negative things and bad things to spread gossip about someone, so this person, the Torah tells us, he has to call out, he has to be excommunicated from society. And on his way out, v'tamei tamei yikra, he has to scream out, I'm impure, I'm impure. On a simple level, people can't touch him. He has to make sure nobody stay near me. But on another level, it's to inform people, look what I did. Like, don't get near me because I'm a Baal Lashon Hara. Don't come near me because of what I might say, because of the gossip that I spread. It's a damaging thing. And in Perek Yigimel Pasuk Mem Vav, it says, "Kol Yimei Asher Nega Bo Yitma Tamehu," that all the days that he has this nega, this affliction, he's impure. Badad Yishev Michutz Machane Moshavo. He must sit isolated outside of the machane, outside of the camp of the Jewish people by himself. And the Gemara in Erechin and the Avtet Zainam Beis says that what's the reason why he has to sit alone by himself? Because what does Lashon Hara cause? Lashon Hara could cause people who are friends, and then all of a sudden someone spreads gossip, something about them, and now all of a sudden they're in a fight, and they separate from each other. This person who caused those two Jews to separate from each other, he himself must separate himself from society. Get out. You're not welcome. You can't be here. And, of course, it's something that important to realize, just how dangerous words are, and how damaging they could cause. And to realize that the Torah throughout, and the Torah and the Gemara and throughout Chazal talk about the dangers of Lashon Hara. The Chavetz Chaim famously wrote Sefer Chavetz Chaim, who we probably know as Rabbi Yisrael Meir right before then, right? Yisrael Meir Kagan. And now he's known as the Chavetz Chaim because of his Sefer Chavetz Chaim and Sefer Shmiras HaLashon. And he really brought this world to life. Of course, the Torah, it was already there in the Torah, it was already in the Gemara, but he compiled everything and put it together. And approximately 100 years ago or so, came out with this to make sure that people realize how dangerous it is and how terrible speaking Lashon Hara is. And it's important to be cognizant of it. I'm zocha to have a chavrusa with a student of mine. We have a chavrusa before davening at 7:45 in the morning. For about 5 minutes, we do the daily lesson a day from the Chavetz Chaim. And really just learning that for 5 minutes a day, really gets a person in the mentality to be able to be cognizant of it, to stay away from it, to make sure to guard one's mouth from it, and to really be to realize just how damaging it is. And of course, we're surrounded by a society that does not realize that. It's important to not get caught up in the culture in which we're surrounded in, and to be sure to always have the Torah's perspective in our mind at all times.